This is Brad Milkey of ABC News' Start Here podcast with your sports update. Down one star, the Golden State Warriors keep winning thanks to the rejuvenation of another. We'll explain coming up.
Progressive presents an interview with your upstairs neighbor.
Hey, it's Rick from upstairs.
Yeah, I take it seriously. When I play R&B at 1 in the morning, that's me saying, hey, I'm here for you. And I enjoy repetitive bass lines.
I only use expired batteries in my smoke detectors.
Nice, right? Yeah, upstairs neighbors help people forget their troubles. Give them something else to focus on.
Ooh, want to see how high I can jump?
Progressive can't save you from your upstairs neighbor.
No, wait, let me try again.
But we can save you money when you bundle renters and auto insurance with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Warriors star Klay Thompson is out for the 2021 season with a torn Achilles tendon, but in his absence, two-time MVP Steph Curry has stepped up in a big way. Curry sits near the top of the league in points scored and three-pointers made and set a new personal best with 62 points in a single game.
This ABC Sports Update was brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save an average of $668.
Hello. And welcome to Millennial Mama. I'm Sachi, a writer, blogger, and first-time mama to my baby Alaya. I am a huge advocate of maternal mental health, and I believe happy mama equals happy families. As a mom to a toddler, I'm exploring and learning new things every day. With Millennial Mama, I wish for moms to enjoy a real, fun, and hands-on approach to motherhood. And yes, that includes celebrating our failures too. So, let's begin!
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hi you, and welcome back to Millennial Mama. My guest today is Zaria Putney, a domestic abuse survivor, single mom, and a total boss babe. Her story is of hope and inspiration, and I'm so excited to share it with you today. Hi, Zaria. Welcome to Millennial Mama. I'm so happy to have you here.
Hi, Sachi. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Zaria, you know, what you have been through, honestly, is gut-wrenching. And when you hear, like, when you read about it, you know, you don't believe these things. You feel like an out-of-body experience. So I want to just understand from you that, you know, your pregnancy is supposed to be a joyful ride, but then you were being abused, you know, physically and mentally. How did you deal with all of that? Like, did you resent your baby at any point in that time?
Actually, it was, firstly, I was 20. I was not expecting this. It was not a planned situation, and something which I wasn't prepared for. You know, like parents nowadays, you prepare for the baby, you prepare your mind and stuff. And it's just that because of the abuse that he was already doing before, the thought of having a baby was very scary for me. Because at that point, like, he would say things like, you know, I'll take the kids and I'll throw you away, or I'll take the kids and I'll use them, you know, and I'll make them against you. And, you know, like, these really strange things which you don't understand. Like, why would someone say that when they have literally gotten married to you, like, begged you to get married to them? So, in my head, I was a little skeptical. But during the pregnancy, I was very, I was very disturbed. I was really, really, really upset. And I used to, like, literally, like, have sleepless nights, and then I had sciatica at the same time, and I really didn't know, honestly, what was going to happen. And I didn't resent, like, I can't say I can't resent it, but there was this weird feeling like, man, I should have just done things differently. And I didn't know, honestly, what's going to happen. And I remember in my head, like, everyone was like, you know what, he's so bad, you just don't want to have his baby, he's just so bad, and you just have to, like, you know, like, just make sure that you're going to give it away and all of this. And at that point in my head, I was like, you know what, maybe I should. Maybe this is something I should do, because everyone's saying it's obviously all the older people are saying, you know, they're talking out of sense, right? Because I made such a huge mistake by getting married to this guy. Clearly, there's something wrong with my judgment and stuff. And I don't want someone who's going to be this bad. And I started getting like pains and, you know, at that point. And I told myself, I was like, absolutely not. I was like, he's going to be my baby. I have like spent 9 months carrying him. I've gone through hell with this pregnancy. Like, I had the worst pregnancy. I don't know a single person who's had pregnancy. Yeah, you know, you have like physical issues. But this was an emotional ride, because for me, again, you know, people have your husbands or whatever. But from everyone I know personally, I had the worst pregnancy ever. And when I started getting the pains, even though I took an epidural, my first thought was like, I'm never giving him up. He can do whatever the hell he feels like. I am never giving him up.
Wow. You know, I have read your story, as I said, multiple times. I've watched your videos as well. But, you know, just listening to it as an as a first person is just like, you know, giving me goosebumps. And I'm not even joking. Like, I can just imagine what you must have been through at that point. I'm a fairly new mom.
Yes.
So, you know, pregnancy was honestly good. Like, but I can imagine in labor when you're thinking of someone taking the baby away, you know, you're so close to seeing the baby. You just want to hold them towards the end of the 9 months. You know, you just want them to be out so you can hold them. And I can just imagine what must be going, like those bittersweet moments that must be going on in your head. So, but Zaria, tell me one thing. You were in such a toxic relationship, you know. And even when Mohammed was born, you really fought a very long and hard battle for his custody, for your divorce, for everything.
Yeah.
Fast forward to today, you are so confident, you're single-handedly raising him. He's almost a teenager. He's a teenager.
He's a teenager. He's 14.
Oh, he's a teenager. And, you know, you've come this such a long way. How did you go from that darkness to this, you know, where you are literally radiating sunshine? Like, you know, how did you start trusting yourself again? How did you how did this change for you?
So over a period, I think, of almost like 10 years, this was like, what is that word, like you're constantly like fighting it in you that you have to be better, you have to do better, and you have to be better, and you have to do better for your own kid. So in my head, I never wanted to be that parent that was like unhappy or was upset or was or getting into like any sort of physical abuse, but like using substance to abuse your own self, like getting intoxicated or getting into drugs.
Yeah.
I wanted my son to grow up in a manner that he didn't have to ever deal with an unhappy childhood. Because you're making a child unhappy from showing them a sort of unhappiness, you're then letting that toxic circle, just that vicious circle, just go on, right? Like, if I'm unhappy and sad, like, even when I had caught stuff, like, I'd probably go cry in another room, hide from him and this. So I did that for a very long time. I did that for a long time till another child actually asked my son that, who's your real father? Because your mom looks so young, and my dad, he calls my dad dad, what I call my dad. So he's like, why does your dad look old? Because my dad has like a beard, so his beard has become a little white. So, you know, small kids, they assume like, okay, you know, mother's young means that the father also has to look young, right? Like, it's something about mentality. And he came up and he asked me. So, you know, that time I kind of just like, it was the first time he asked me about who my real father is. Okay, he couldn't even understand. So innocently, and I was just sitting out there. He was, I think, like 7 years or 6 years old. He was six and a half. I just looked at him and I narrated one incident that had happened with Mohammed. When I'd gotten Mohammed's full custody from the family court, my ex's mother had seen him in the building, and then she pulled him by his ears and started telling him, you know, mother's a witch, your mother's a dying, you know, like,
oh my God.
That had etched in his brains. And he came home and he's sobbing and he kept asking me, who's that lady? Who's that lady? So I had to like connect the dots and explain to him. And that was his last day. He only asked me then when he was six. I made him, I narrated that episode, and that was it. After that, till date, it's been almost like, 6 years? He's never asked me anything about my, like, his my ex-husband or anything. So when I saw that he has been such a good support, he's not troubled me, he's not harassed me, he's never questioned me. Anyone asked him about like, where's your dad? He very openly, confidently is like, oh, my mom's a single parent. I don't know where my father is.
Wow. And
so he, wow. Like, I always wanted to raise him in a way that you have me and that's enough. Like, you don't need anybody. You don't need anyone to tell you that, okay, you know what, Muhammad, you're from a broken family, so you should feel bad for yourself, or you need to take sympathy, or you need this, or nothing. I'm like, I'm enough. I think I'm doing a fantastic job raising him.
You really are.
It's insulting to me if someone be like, oh, he's lacking something. Like, I'm like, are you crazy? He's not lacking anything. He has me, and that's about, he doesn't need anyone.
Right.
So, the light, I can't... not light, but I feel like my personality itself has always been a happy personality. Like, my dad used to call me a hasta popat, and this whole episode happened and no one could ever see me laugh ever. And then slowly, I was just like, happiness lies within me, right? Like, not in my family, not even in my son. I can have my son the whole day and still be unhappy. So the happiness lies within me. So if there's someone who has to make an effort, and I want my child to have a happy parent. Like, why should he have an unhappy parent? He's not done anything. So, I guess that's the reason what you see is what you see right now.
Zaria, I'm so impressed. And I'm so, I have so much to learn from you. Like, it's so heartwarming to hear you speak, you know, because all these things are so true, what you've said, that, you know, you, even if Mohammad has one of you, but you want him to have one whole. You don't want him to have an incomplete parent.
No.
And you know, I just feel you have raised such a good son. Like, you're raising him with all the right values. I just want to understand, because to me as an outsider, he sounds like really amazing, but to you as a mom, what values do you focus when you're raising him, especially in today's world, you know, where you can see things going wrong left, right, center, how men behave, how there's so much disparity between men and women and all of that. What are you focusing on when you raise him?
So while he was growing up, I obviously had to like make sure that his behavior was in a certain way, because anytime he would get upset or angry, which I actually see more and more kids do that with him, if he got upset and angry, even someone like a maid or a driver would be like, "Arey, ye to ispe baap pe gaya hai," and it would make me so angry. I don't think I have been, you know, like, I don't have a temper, like, I don't get angry as a person. And in my head, I was like, no, if there's something I need to concentrate on his behavior with everybody, whether it's a maid, whether it's a helper, whether it's a waiter or a driver. First thing was behavior. I'm like, you have to respect every single person. So this one thing which I'm like constantly telling him. Then obviously, like, respect towards women, like, constantly, because I have like two sisters, my mom, I have a bunch of cousins. So every time, you know, like, I've like, you know, it's almost become like a fine tuning thing. Anytime I see him like talk rudely or talk badly to anybody, even if he might lie, I'm like, Muhammad, just leave it, you know, drop it. Like, you don't have to say this.
Yeah.
In your genes, there's nothing like anger. These are all our old emotions and what you feed, basically. You can feed the good part or you can feed the angry part. So my working like full time, it's the same thing, that Muhammad, respect good values, respect your older people, and be humble. So humble is another thing which I have to keep telling him, like, Muhammad, humble, like, you have to be humble, you have to be simple in your head, in your space, in your mind, around people. It doesn't matter whether you have money, you don't have money, you have to be kind to every single person.
So, apart from this, Zaria, you have also really helped, you know, apart from raising him, right, you've helped so many single parents out there. You changed the law. Before you came along, children with single parents could not get passports without NOC from their separated half. And you change that, you and Mohammad together? And what was that journey like? And what did that victory feel for you?
Oh man, I think that victory was like, I felt like I won the war. I swear.
I can imagine. Wow.
So I have to tell you about this. Basically, I was going to Dubai and I couldn't take Mohammad with me and go. And it was my second trip that I couldn't take Mohammad with me and go. And okay. I was like really upset, but I just needed that break. So I told my sister, I said, you know, when I come back from Dubai, I have to make his passport. And she's like, yeah, yeah, you know, we'll do it. We'll do it. That was the year 2016. I got Mohammed's custody, like full custody, in 2012.
Okay.
December. And from 2013 to 2016, I had gone to the passport office, I don't know, like probably like 100 times. Like 100 times. Yeah. Every paper they have asked me. They have asked me papers and signs from some someone called a magistrate, which apparently you find them in our, you know, your own localities, giving you permission to make passports. And, wow. You know, but they don't exist. They don't exist. Paperwork for passport is literally what the passport often gives you. You don't need any kind of affidavit or an NOC or this or that. A regular person's file would be like, say, 2 mm. I think I went with like a 6-inch file every single time I went to the passport office, because I had so much paperwork to prove to them that I was Mohammed's mother. I was taking care of him. I was a single parent. I don't know where my ex is.
Oh my God.
I've been divorced for so many years. This is the FIR copy. This is the NOC. This is the there's another thing that I had. I forgot what's it called. Anyways, never mind. Something like an FIR. I have this copy, I have that copy, I have this letter, that letter from this lawyer. Dude, they just didn't listen. Like, literally, they just didn't listen. Finally, in 2016, I came back from Dubai. I came back from Dubai in November. And in December, I went, in November only itself, November 1st, second week, I went to the passport office. And the lady out there looked at all my paperwork, okay, and then she told me, haha, ban jayega, ban jayega, ab ek hafte ke baad aana. I went after 1 week, then she saw my paperwork, and then she's asking me, ye aapka husband ka NOC kidhar hai? So I said that, you said that I don't need an NOC, right, because I'm separated, I've been taking care of him for so many years, I have full custody, this is my paper from the court that says I have custody. Then she said, yeah, but he has visitation rights. I'm like, if he has visitation rights, so what can I do? The court has granted him visitation rights, but he doesn't come. I even had letters to the court and to my ex saying that you have visitation rights, you have not obtained your visitation rights. So please do not, blame me, because you are not obtaining. Because he used to do all these stupid things and like try to like basically put me in some kind of a mess or a loop, like, you know, like the loopholes in her case, which was not there, which was not the case. He only stopped and then he would like tell the court, oh, she's not showing me the baby, or she's not giving me access. Like all these like really basically a bunch of lies. All the paperwork was there in front of that lady in black and white saying that he does not come. The visitation rights have, like, they're going on since so many years. He's not seen my son in 3 years. He's not in the picture. So please, like, I don't know where he is. I've been divorced for so many years. He's already remarried. He already has, I think, a child from that other lady. Please make his passport. Yeah. She told me to file a missing person's complaint in the police here. This was happening in front of about, I think like 3 other people were standing out there to get their passports, like with different issues. I just looked at her. I don't think I've been so angry or like so annoyed in public, and you know, to someone so random. I was like, you know what, I'll take care of it outside court. And I left with all my papers, like huffing and puffing and angry and sad and crying, and all this like drama was going on in my head, sat in my car. And I called my uncle. I said, they still haven't given it. He's like, you know, there's this one change.org. Like, why don't you like sign up on that? And like, you know, like write a whole petition online. Let's see what we can do. Okay. What do I write?
Yeah.
He's like, write all your issues. write that you want a passport for your son, write that your ex has visitation rights and he's not coming, write the fact that wives are important for your for an ex-husband to be in the picture because you're the one who is mentally, emotionally, physically and financially taking care. My ex does not give a penny for my son and he's not given a penny and I don't even want his money for my son. I'm very happy raising my kid by myself. So I wrote that in a long petition and I just spoke to my lawyer. My lawyer's like, yeah, go ahead, do it. Let's see what we can do. I swear my phone didn't stop ringing. The moment the petition went online, I had my inbox. I clear my inbox. Like, I don't like mails showing it. I had probably like, say, 22 or something unread random emails blasted to like 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. Because every time someone signed or someone sent it forward, I was getting an email. I'm like, what is on? In the next 2 days, I got an interview from Mumbai Mirror, Asian Age, Bangalore Times, Pune Times, Hyderabad, Economic Times. Every paper possible in India had called me to take an interview about this single mom who's struggling to get a passport for the son. And the laws are so old that they refuse to give her the passport and she's the one who's taking care. She's the sole parent taking care of the child.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at I'm just looking at the whole thing and I get like a tweet also from I think the foreign minister or something. Like I had tweeted to him also and I started getting like these, you know, like calls coming from all these random numbers asking me what should we do, how can we help, like this lawyer, that lawyer. I don't know from where people have gotten my number and have started contacting me. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. That's all I told myself. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe my ex might just run back and then start filing some more cases saying she wants to make the passport for my son and all this crap. He's not seen my son in like 3 years and he's going to start doing. So I had all this was already in my head. I went away to Hyderabad and from Hyderabad, I started getting calls and it kept saying passport office, like, you know, Truecaller. So I was like, why is the passport office calling me? Every time I could call back on their number, they gave the passport office, ye passport office ka number hai, phone kiya hoga. I said, okay, maybe someone had called.
Yeah.
Then my cousin brother was also there. He's like, do you know the laws have changed for single parents? I'm like, what are you talking? He's like, yeah, there's this new Sushma Swaraj has said that the laws have changed, like single parents can make passport. I'm like, what bullshit? I've just literally, like, I just did this thing 2 weeks. What do you mean they've changed? He's like, yeah, he sent me a screenshot. Another 10 friends sent me a screenshot. The laws have changed. I'm like, no, it's not possible. Only he's like, yeah, like read it. I'm reading it. Then I'm wondering, I said, why is the passport office calling me? Okay, fine, the laws have changed. That's it. I go to the passport office, okay, because they called me so many times. It was the first time that I didn't have to introduce myself. He saw me and he's like, oh, Miss Patni, aapki ministry mein charcha ho rahi hai ek hafte se, aapki baatein se ho rahi hai ministry mein, itni charcha aap kar rahe ho. I'm looking at him, I'm like, what charcha? He's like, no, sit. Yeah, this is the form, just fill it. So, Sanchi, I read the form from point A to point D are exactly my words. With point B being that one parent has visitation rights where the other parent has full access. The parent that has full custody is entitled to make the passport for the child without the permission of the parent that has visitation rights. I swear, I'm looking at the paper. I know, I'm looking at the paper. I'm like tick marking, click, 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 click. He's looking at me. He's like, some points. I was like, since 3 years, I'm coming and telling the same thing. I'm like, these are exactly my words. I said, this paper is exactly what I have said in every letter I have written to you. I said, these are my words. And this is my affidavit that you all have changed. He's like, oh, we have become very modern now. We have become understanding. I was like, thank you, but these are my words and I'm going to take it. I got Mohammed's passport in 2 days.
Amazing.
I swear, I got a message. He's like, aapko mil jayega 2 days. Aapko mil jayega 2 din mein. I'm like, are you sure I'll get in 2 days? Are you going to give me another sleepless night? He's like, nahin, mil jayega 2 days mein. I got a message before I could even reach home. I got a message, your passport or so and so number has been generated. Then I got a saying your passport is whatever, like reaching the passport, the post office.
Yeah.
So the postman who actually would come for like, you know, letters at home, he would come. He knew me by face. So I managed to find him at a college near my house. He was like, ha, you know, you have to show ID card and all. He said, hey, baby, I'm not going to take my building's name, sorry. I took it. He didn't even ask me, there's a passport, what's it? I was so excited. That time, the demonetization had just happened. So we had those new 2,000 rupee notes. I removed 2,000. I gave him. He's looking at me. He's like, I've come so many times. Only dropped a letter. This lady, this kid has given me 2,000 because they all call me baby. Dude, I saw his passport. I swear, I was overjoyed. Next level. Like, I took a picture. I sent it to Karishma first because she helped me a lot from Humans of Bombay. I said, sister, I sent it to whichever person was concerned. I was so excited. I'm telling you. And at that point, I called Karishma. And I told Karishma, I said, Karishma, now I feel like I won my war. I was like, 10 years of ordeal from 2005 to 2016, I was just fighting. Like fighting in any form. I'm like, I was just fighting.
Wow.
So, yeah, for me, that's when I was like, now the war is over.
It's a fab story. Like, it is so good. Zaria, before I let you go, I want to just ask you, do you have any advice you would like to give single moms or someone who's stuck in an abusive relationship? Especially, you know, holidays get really hard for single parents. So what is your advice to them?
At the end of it, you rather raise your child in a single atmosphere than raise your child in a toxic atmosphere where the child has to see two parents continuously fight and bicker about every single thing under the sun. And when it comes to single parents, I think all of us are doing the best that we're doing, right? Like, we're the parent that decided to stay. We're the parent that decided to take care of the child. We are the parent that decided to make sure that these kids that have come into the world in whichever form, it's our responsibility to make sure that they have a good childhood. You don't have to be super rich or super famous or super wealthy or super anything to take care of your child and give them a little love. And toxic relationships and toxic people, I feel like when you see the red flags, just bounce, because it's not going to get any better. Any sort of abuse is not accepted. Any sort of abuse. So you'd rather be single and happy than be in an unhappy relationship.
This conversation was so good. So good. Thank you for joining me on Millennial Mama. It was an honor to host you on your first podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. And yes, I can't wait for everyone to like hear this and take some inspiration.
That was so inspiring, right? Zaria went through so much and she's been so strong throughout. If you are struggling with something and want to talk, feel free to reach out to Zaria on Instagram. Her handle is Zaria06. And that's my cue. Baby Ray calls for Mama Ray, which means that's it for today. Do share your love and support, because God knows all new mamas need it. You can connect with me at Sachi Nasta on Instagram and Twitter. You can also show some love at HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. See you next week.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.